Good morning. Hope you'll take out a Bible with me and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is found in the temple and teaching, as he often is. And in this specific instance, we find Jesus being interrupted by the Jewish officials that are around him. Matthew chapter 21, begin reading with me in verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source, from heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." In today's society, authority seems to be a rather touchy subject. People don't want to submit themselves to authority. We see this in our civil lives. People don't like people telling us what to do. We don't want to be told what to do, where to go, how fast to drive our cars on the road. We don't like authority. We see this in our home lives as well. We see children who are raised without a sense of authority. Children don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be told, "You can't go to these places. You can't do these things." We don't like authority oftentimes, but we can also recognize similar trends in our spiritual life. In the religious realm, we see people who don't want to be restricted by certain authorities, by certain people telling them what to do or how to live their lives. Yet everything that we do, it doesn't matter in what area of our lives, everything that we do is done by the authority of someone. Even if that authority is ourselves, everything is authorized by someone or something. A trouble arises when we have a society that doesn't recognize any authority. When people don't want to follow authority and everyone becomes their own authority, we find a society much like that in early Israel. You remember in Judges chapter 21, as the book of Judges comes to a close, you remember the people. They sinned, and God would send someone to punish them for their sin, and they would repent of that sin. And we remember the cycle of the judges, how they would then fall back into sin over and over and over. And the reason for that is because they did not follow proper authority. Look in Judges chapter 21, the very last verse of the book of Judges describes the situation in Israel. Judges 21 and verse 25. "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's what a society looks like without authority. When we don't have proper authority, when we don't follow a rule or a guide, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. I've heard it described in this way. I've heard it, the analogy of a football game in which every team has a different set of rules. And if they don't follow the same rule book, well, who's to say what goes? One team may have their own rule book and they play by those rules. And another team that they're playing may have another rule book and they say what goes in their game. And then the officials may have an entirely different set of rules. And there's no order to a game of football like that. There's no order unless there is some sense of authority we can appeal to. Some sense of right and wrong, a guide for our lives. Well, Matthew chapter 21, the question was asked of him, "By what authority are you doing these things? What is your authority? Who is telling you to teach these things?" Of course, we know where Jesus got his authority. But Jesus offers us two sources of authority. Jesus says there's only two places you can get your authority. You can get a guide to life. He says you can get it from heaven, or you can get it from men. And I think that's a question we need to ask. We need to ask that of ourselves. We need to ask that of other people. We need to ask that when we see things taught. Where do you get your authority? Who is telling you to teach the things that you're teaching? Is your authority from heaven, or is it from men? Before we go any further, I think we must agree on one fact. God is the ultimate authority. This fact must permeate our every decision. This fact must guide our lives. That God is the one who has all authority. We cannot discuss religious matters. We cannot discuss the Bible with non-believers or among ourselves until we understand that God has all authority. The ultimate authority comes from heaven, not from men. But we don't accept this fact blindly. We don't say that God has authority and then not have reason for that. How do we know that authority comes from heaven? How do we know that authority is God's? Well, because God is the creator of all things. God has created everything, and thus he is the owner of everything. Everything is owned by God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 go on to speak of his creation, how he created everything. Everything was spoken into existence by God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Here speaking of God the Son. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." So Paul recognized God is the creator of everything. There is nothing that we see, there is nothing that we don't see that is not created by God. God is the creator of the things seen and the things unseen. It speaks of how he is creator of the thrones, the dominions, the rulers, the authorities, those people who have authority, the government powers that rule the lands in this world. They're created by God. God has all authority because he is the creator. He is the owner. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains." Everything that the world contains is God's. He is the creator. Things belong to him. Thus, God has complete authority to rule his creation. He has complete authority to rule his possessions. Now, we understand that in our lives. Now, we have the example of copyright laws. You know, if I create something, if I write a book or if I write certain material, I can copyright those. They're my creation. I can do with them what I please. I have authority over those things. Maybe I invent a contraption or something and I have a patent on it. It's mine. I get to control how it's used and what it is used for. God is the creator of the world. He owns the world. It is his to do with it as he pleases. Therefore, God as creator and owner over this world and all things in it has the authority to do with it what he pleases. He has authority. But that's not where authority ends. God is creator and he is the owner of all things. But Jesus himself says he had been given all authority by God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We recognize that God, as the one who has all authority, because he created the heavens and the earth, God has the prerogative to distribute authority as he sees fit. He can give authority to those who he desires. So in Matthew chapter 28, begin reading with me in verse 17. "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" All authority has been given to Jesus. God gave Jesus the authority. What Jesus speaks, he speaks as if God speaks. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. He says, "These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of his might, Verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here we find God giving authority to Jesus. All things are placed in subjection under his feet. God, the creator of all things, has given authority to Jesus, his son. Thus, we note that the words of Jesus are as good as the words of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The first two verses. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these latter days has spoken to us in his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. God speaks to us through his son. Christ speaks as God speaks. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus describes to his apostles, he instructs his apostles, he says, my words are not my own. In John chapter 14 and verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Jesus says, when I say things, the things that I speak, they're not me. They're my Father speaking through me. Jesus has been given all authority by God. And he speaks the words of God. If we know Jesus, we know the words of God. So God, the owner and creator of all things, has given all authority to his son. God has given that authority to Jesus. But notice there is to this point no authority elsewhere other than in God and in his son. They are the only two places where we find this authority. But how then do we know what is to be followed? You know, we don't have direct interaction with God. God doesn't come whisper in our ears. We don't see Jesus. Jesus isn't among us anymore speaking the things of God. How do we know what is authoritative? How do we know how to live our lives? Jesus instructed his disciples. Jesus instructed his disciples to teach the things that he had taught. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, begin reading with me this time in verse 19. Jesus has just said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus instructed his disciples. He said, you go out and you teach nothing but what I've commanded you. So we find God gave the authority to Jesus. And Jesus said, you go teach. Teach the things that I commanded you. Teach those things that are authoritative. Turn with me back to the Gospel of John in chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 20. Jesus there tells his disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So we see that chain of authority again. God gave authority to Jesus, and Jesus told his disciples to teach those things that he had taught them. He says, whoever receives you, I've sent you. Whoever receives you is going to receive those things that I have said. And whoever receives those things that I have said has received God, because God is the one who gave those things to me. Turn with me to Galatians. Chapter 1. It's important to note that while the apostles went out and taught, and while they they taught the words of Christ. They never claimed originality for the things that they were teaching. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul told the Galatians, he said, this is not me speaking. This is not something that I have devised or that I have received from men. No, this is what God showed me. This is what the authoritative creator of the world gave to me. This is not some creation of man. You may recall also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, Paul said, this is the gospel which I preached. I preached to you what I received. He says, I didn't come up with this. I didn't create this gospel. This is what I received by the hands of Jesus, who received it from God. The apostles speak what the authority of Jesus spoke. And that is the authority of God. And not only that, not only did Jesus' disciples teach, but we have their writings. We have the written word of God for us today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage we may be familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The scriptures we have, those things written by the disciples, those things written by the inspired apostles, are authoritative. They are inspired by God. They are God-breathed. The authority of God speaks through the scriptures. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says that the things that are written are complete. They have everything pertaining to life and to godliness. There is nothing else that we need. That is all the authority we need in the written scriptures. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, a few verses previous to what we just read. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. The gospel is complete. The gospel is everything we need. The scriptures are complete. There is no other authority needed but that we have received from God, that which is God breathed. That is the authority that we ought to live by. Our understanding of the authority of God is crucial. God as creator, he has created everything, seen and unseen. He is the owner of all things. Therefore, he is possessor of all things. He has a right to dictate how we live our lives because he has created us. He has given all authority to Jesus, who commanded his disciples to teach others the authoritative words of God. And they did so orally, but they also wrote down for us the words of God. They wrote down the words that God breathed out for them to record. Our Bibles, whether they be bound in a leatherback or hardback, or whether they be on an iPhone or a tablet of some sort, they're the words of God. They are authoritative. And we ought to live our lives according to those things. However, that's not the only source of authority that Jesus mentioned when the Jewish officials questioned him. They said, by what authority are you doing these things in Matthew chapter 21? And Jesus said, well, I'll ask you this question. The authority of John's baptism, where was it from? Was it from heaven or was it from man? See, we can get our authority from heaven. And that's where we must get our authority, because these two authorities are not equal. They are in no way equal to one another. But we can get our authority from heaven. We can get our authority from God, or we can look to men, and we can live our lives according to what men have designed. Man is often followed after the authority of themselves. One of the popular things that men will say is, well, majority rules.
if everyone's doing it, it must be right. And so throughout history, we find people who have gotten together, groups, councils, all these sorts of committees to decide on what the authoritative word of God is, to decide on what God's teaching is and how we can bind that into some sort of creed and bind that on people. Does majority rule? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, begin reading with me in verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Does majority rule? Well, Jesus tells us that the majority of people are going to be found going through the wide gate that leads to destruction. No, the way of God is narrow. There won't be many people who find that. Yet people still they want to appeal to this sort of authority. That majority rules. If we get a popular vote, that must be what God desired. But that is not the case. Majority does not rule. Still others will say, well, traditions rule. Traditions are what we need to follow. And, you know, it's the way we've always done it. It's what my mom and dad taught me. Are those a proper authority to live our lives according to? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Read with me verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Paul says, don't let people take you in. Don't be brought into this idea that since we've always done it this way, it must be right. No, go back to Christ for your authority. And if Christ is seen in the traditions that we have, great. But Christ must be the authority. We cannot appeal solely to tradition just because we've always done it that way, or because our parents have told us, or because we've heard from people in past times that is the way it is to be done. Traditions are not a good source of authority. It is not the appropriate source of authority. Rather, it is appealing to men for our authority. Well, other people try and say that the moral rule is the correct way to go. You know, if it accomplishes good, it must be something good to do. You know, we can go out and support orphans' homes. We can go out and support colleges for the education of young people. We can go out and support all these different things because it does good things in our community. It's a good rule to live by. It's moral in its application. But is that the appropriate line of reasoning? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. We need to be very careful with how we view these things. Because Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Just because something seems good to us, just because something seems morally applicable, does not necessarily mean that it is in accordance with the Scriptures, that it is in accordance with Christ's will and God's will for us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Begin reading with me in verse 14. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God.'" It may be a good thing in the eyes of men to support orphans and to do those sorts of things with the church treasury. That may seem good to men. But Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he says, "You are the ones who try to justify yourselves in the sight of men. The things that are good to men may very well be detestable to the Lord. They may not be good in the sight of God. We must be careful to measure everything up to God's standard, not to men's standard." Perhaps other people say, well, we're going to get our authority from the scholars. We're going to get the scholarly consensus. And that's going to be where we get our authority. If the scholars say it, it must be accurate. You know, all of the biblical scholars, all the commentaries, they all say that this is the proper way to live our lives. That's not necessarily the proper way. Or maybe you've heard people say, well, you know, I'll have to see what my preacher says about that. Is that the appropriate action? Or should we go and see what God says about that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. He says, sometimes the wisdom of this world, the people who claim to have great knowledge and great wisdom, they're often the ones who are foolish in God's eyes. We must be careful to measure ourselves up according to God's standard. Live by God's authority, not by the authority of men, not by anything that man can devise. Now, this list here is not exhaustive, and I'm sure that there are people who appeal to other sorts of earthly wisdom, earthly authority. But we must understand that the proper authority is not found in the ways of men. Men do not come up with the authority we are to live by. If we look to what the majority is doing, if we try and decide what seems good to us, we're going to fail. We're going to fail in the eyes of God because we did not measure ourselves up to God's authority. We must always live in accordance with God's authority. Well, back in Matthew chapter 21, when confronted with the question of authority, Jesus gave two sources. He said, your authority can either be from heaven or it can be from men. Where is our authority from? Where do we get the authority that we live by? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Begin reading with me in verse 23. Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the families that do not call your name. For they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation. Man cannot direct his own steps. The authority cannot be found in man, because we're not capable of directing our steps. He begged God. He says, correct us when we err. He says, correct those who have turned away from your word. Correct those who have walked contrary to you. Do we have that mentality? Do we seek to get our authority from God and from nowhere else? Or do we see the authority of men as a viable option for our lives, for our guide, and for our authority? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all things, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaks the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter says the end is coming. The end is coming, and we need to be ready for that. And so what are we to do? We have this knowledge that the end is coming, but how are we to live our lives? He says, those who speak as the utterances of God. Speak as the oracles of God. If you speak, speak those things that God would speak. Speak with the authority of Him. In so doing, he says, you glorify God. We give God the glory when we live by His authority. Do we have that mentality? Do we seek to give Him the authority, the glory He deserves by following His authority, by following the guide that He has left for us? And when we are confronted with the question, by what authority do you do these things? We should never hesitate to answer. We do these things by the authority of God. We do these things because this is what God has instructed us and commanded us. I woke up this morning to some upsetting news on Facebook. I woke up and found out that a classmate of mine who I went to college with, I only met her once. I'd only ever had one interaction with her, but she died in a car wreck earlier this week. And it's news like that that really shatters your perception of life. You know, you go along and you live your life and you don't really think about death. You don't think about those things. You don't think about the afterlife. You don't consider that. But here you find a young girl, younger than myself, who was taken from the world. Life is fragile. Are we living by the authority of God? Are we doing those things that God would have us do in this life? Or are we doing those things that man deems worthy? Are we doing those things that man would have us do? Where do you get your authority? By what authority are you doing these things? If there's anything we can do to help you this morning, we want to do that. If you need to make your life right with God, if you haven't been living by the authority of God, but rather by the authority of men, you need to make that right. Come, submit yourself to Christ. Submit yourself to His authority. Obey His commands. Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on His name. If we can pray with you, if you're a Christian who has fallen away or needs the encouragement and prayers of the saints, we'd be happy to do that as well. At this time, if there's anything we can do, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.